think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
If anybody's making a prediction about the future and they say they're 100% certain, they're probably wrong.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, trust and cooperation.
There are very few things, especially in current existence on this planet, that have 100% certainty. Not that there ever are, but I mean, they're especially not now because of all of the predictable moving variables that are happening in all of our lives right now.
You know, so it's interesting. If you think about this notion of trust, there's lots of different kinds of trust which are deeply built into the system. So for example, you go to the grocery store, you buy some food, you put it in your refrigerator, you walk away. You come back to the refrigerator, you expect it to be there, right?
Who do you live with? Wait.
There you go. But generally speaking, you put something someplace and you trust it's going to be in the same place when you get back. Obviously, someone could come and eat the food, move something, or play a trick on you. But generally speaking, built into the system is this idea that stuff is just where you left it. There's a certain level of trust built into the system that we have, our cognitive system, that assumes that weird random events aren't just going to occur, which is why when you go back and the food that you bought isn't there, you're surprised. And so that sort of trust is built into the system, that the world is going to be relatively predictable. Now, the next phase of that is that we also have a certain level of inherent trust in many of the other people around us. And we've talked about this on previous shows a little bit, but as a cooperative species, very little gets off the ground if we can't trust people to do the things that they say they're going to do and to follow through on those. And it's not just that we have to know those people. So for example, many of our listeners have probably gotten into a Lyft or an Uber with a complete stranger that you called up on an app, right? I mean, if you think about it, Uber and Lyft violate everything your mother said when you were 5 years old. Don't just meet some random person. Don't then get in a car with them. You know, don't pay them for things, right? But all of this is just what we, you know, this is now built into the system, this trust that we all have subscribed to a similar set of rules. Now, could someone violate that trust? Could someone do the wrong thing? Yes. But in point of fact, very few people do. So there's a real need for people to act in ways that are that are predictable and that follow through on their commitments in order for society to stay functioning.
Art mentioned briefly at the beginning of that you know, any cooperative species couldn't function without some sense of mutual trust, which is why in many species, violators of trust are dealt with severely, right? Because we know that as a group, we can't accomplish mutually beneficial goals if some people are not going to follow whatever the agreed upon protocols are, which is, you know, this classic tragedy of the commons. You know, I mean, we all say that if everyone is cooperative and doing the things that we've all at least outwardly agreed to, well, then we're all going to be better off. But now we're in a time where things are changing very rapidly. I mean, both in terms of social issues and also in terms of the pandemic, which of course is also a social issue. All that's happening so fast, and there are so many sources of information. Now we have an additional burden of figuring out what are the sources of information that we should believe.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the things that makes figuring out who to trust difficult is that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty in the environment.
Yeah.
And there's a tremendous amount of lag time between things that people say might happen and when they happen. And both of those make it hard to verify who is giving you the best information they can at the time. This has actually created a tremendous amount of anxiety for people. And that anxiety, we've talked about this on previous shows, that unpredictability is something we find anxiety provoking. But if we begin to then think about this concept of trusting the things that other people are saying, that heightened state of anxiety now has two effects on the way that we interact with other people. One is that it just tends to lower our overall level of trust in anyone, because we're anxious about stuff. We're worried that things are going to go wrong. And so it's very hard for us to just trust what someone else is saying. But on the other hand, we're also looking for a certain amount of relief from that anxiety. And so we do tend to cling to stories that people tell us that have happy endings.
Yeah.
So you hear lots of people saying, but we're going to have a vaccine in a year, right? And the reason for that is, well, we've heard some rosy estimates of when a vaccine might be available. And we latch onto those because they provide us some measure of relief from the overall anxiety, even though, you know, in the history of the creation of vaccines, having a vaccine 18 months after the onset of a particular disease would be unheard of. It would be remarkably rapid. Now, that doesn't mean it won't happen, but it does mean that one reason why we cling to that and point to that as a touchstone is because it is a way of helping us to relieve that anxiety, to believe that the cavalry is on its way.
Next week, we'll talk about short-term actions and long-term change with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.